Blog Talk Radio. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our protector. If God is for us, who can be against us? No one and nothing. We face a lot of fears in this life. that the Lord tells us in his holy scriptures, which we as Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, believe is the word of God, the inerrant word of God. It's without error. He tells us in the scriptures that he has already conquered. Jesus, who is one with God the Father and his Holy Spirit, the triune God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he tells us that he has already conquered Satan and sin and death and the world, and he's already given us victory in this battle of spiritual warfare, the battle that we know in this world as the war between good and evil. We call it spiritual warfare, because that indeed is what it is. All of those things, those temptations that come to our mind, come to us from the evil one, from Satan, whom you may know as the devil. And of course, he's taunting us, tempting us to do what is wrong, to do sin, to separate us from God. And he hates us, and that is his job, the devil's job, to try to destroy us, to take us away from the Lord, because he hates the Lord. He's the enemy of God. So he is our enemy as well, because we belong to God. We belong to the Lord. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and agree to live our lives for him, to allow the Holy Spirit of the living God, of the Lord Christ Jesus, Jehovah God, to live out the Christian life through us, then Satan, understandably, is going to come and attack us, because that is just the opposite of what he wants. Satan is doomed forever. And he knows that, and he's living on borrowed time. Satan knows Jesus. He knows of him, but he doesn't follow him in the Christian life. He turned against him. He turned against God and was thrown out of heaven. And thrown out of heaven, of course, in one sense means that he is separated from God forever. He may still walk into heaven and talk to God, but he will be separated from the presence of God forever. Jesus Christ returns to take his people, the followers of Jesus Christ, the Christians, out of the world and to judge the evil, the wicked ones. Satan is doomed forever, and he wants to take everyone he can down to hellfire and damnation with him. So that is why he tempts us continually, trying to cause us to sin. He can't make us do anything. We have free will, of course, because the Lord God has given us free will, just as he gave Adam and Eve free will. And so, here we are, and I want to quote at this point a scripture verse from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You can read along in your Bible. And this talks about the grace and mercy of God. God has given us great grace and mercy and favor. And he tells us, of course, that we are saved by grace. We're saved by grace through faith. The grace of God through our faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we receive Jesus Christ and accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and accept his work on the cross, his death and resurrection, payment in full for our sins and for the sins of all mankind, for the sins of the world, then we can be born again in Christ Jesus. We can become children of the living God. But if we reject Jesus, if we do not accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then we reject God himself, because Jesus is one with God and his Holy Spirit. So he gives us grace and favor throughout our lives. He's always there waiting to receive us back when we sin and we reject him and turn away from him. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And his grace and mercies are fresh and new every morning, he tells us in Lamentations. So this verse is so important to me here in Hebrews 4:16. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll read along with it. And here in, actually, I will start in the verse, a couple of verses before that, before Hebrews 4:16. Again, this is talking about the grace and mercy of God. So here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, I'm reading, and I will ask first, Dear Lord Jesus, Holy Father God, I ask you, Lord, to empty us of ourselves here and fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, your love, your peace, and your joy, so that there is no place left in us for Satan, so that we cannot give place to the devil. And I ask you, Father, to please enlighten our minds and illuminate your word to us. Please help us to understand it and to apply it to our daily lives. And so, Lord, here we begin. In Hebrews 4, verse 14, and that says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize or who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence," and some versions will say with boldness, or "let us boldly come." But here it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God is loving. He is love. And he wants all of us to know his love, to receive him, to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. He wants all of us to be in heaven with him one day. Do you ever think about what will happen to you when you die, when you stop breathing? Do you wonder what will happen to your body? We know we'll be buried or cremated, but we have a soul that lives on after death. As a Christian, I do believe that we have a soul, we have a spirit. That part of us will live on after death into eternity. And the Bible tells us, God tells us in the Bible, that there are only two places we can go. There's either heaven, to be with the Lord God Almighty, or to hell, whatever that is, the lake of fire and damnation, fire and brimstone, whatever hell is. We know that it is total, complete separation from God forever, for all eternity. There are only two places we can go. There are no pit stops on the way to heaven. We can either choose to be with the Lord, or we're going to be with Satan. And not making a choice is essentially making a choice, because we're not choosing the Lord. And so I want to encourage you that there is hope. No matter what you're suffering in your life, no matter what has happened in the past, the Lord is always there waiting for us to come to him, to call on the name of Jesus, to come to him. If you don't believe that Jesus exists, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, if you don't believe that there is even a God, speak out. Ask, "God, if you are real, will you reveal it to me?" And I'm here to tell you that he will. Do you want to know the truth? Have you been living with uncertainty? Are you believing what everybody around you says to you? Do you want to know the truth? Ask the source of truth, the Lord God. There is only one truth. That is the Lord God, Jesus Christ, Jehovah God. If you call out to him, he will answer you. And so tonight we're going to talk about, my special guest is going to be a very dear friend of mine, Lily Castaneda Garcia. And we're going to bring her on in a moment. She's calling in. And we're going to talk about how anger, unforgiveness, bitterness can interfere with our being effective in serving the Lord and in life itself, and actually how it can cause great suffering, pain and suffering, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And so I hope you'll listen to the rest of the show. And if you know anyone else who might be interested, we're going to talk about also things such as depression and suicide and abuse, and forgiving those who have harmed us, and how we can show the love of Christ to other people, and to give our testimonies. This is to give our testimonies, to tell our stories, not necessarily all of our business and put everything out in public, but the Lord wants us to give our testimonies to other people, to let them know that there is hope. There is hope no matter what is happening, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Lord Jehovah God. Lily, are you there? Hello, Lily. We'll try to get Lily on here in just a moment, and so that you can hear from my friend Lily Castaneda. Garcia. Hi, are you there, Lily?
Hi, Catherine, I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I am very pleased to have you be a guest on my show. Again, if anyone is tuning in at this moment, you're listening to The Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine Resendez, and my special guest tonight is Lily Castaneda Garcia. And we're going to talk again about how anger, fear and anger and unforgiveness and bitterness, because unforgiveness leads to bitterness, how that can really impede our walk with the Lord, how it can hold us back from being successful in life and make us miserable along the way. It can keep us from accomplishing the things that the Lord God wants to do in our life, in and through us, even in our family life, in our daily chores. And so tonight we're going to talk about problems with depression, and experiences of domestic violence, of the suicide of family members, and the effects of that on the family, and also about hearing from the Lord, the Word of God, listening for the Lord to lead us and guide us and instruct us in the way that we should go, because He tells us that He will lead us with His eye upon us. He's always there waiting, right, Lily?
Yes, that's correct.
He always wants to lead us in what we should do if we will just come to Him and ask Him. And many times we can look back and see that He was telling us the whole time He was calling to us and showing us. We look back many times when we were too hurried, when we were too upset or letting things cloud our minds, when we weren't thinking clearly, we can see that the Lord was working and showing us the way to go, but we weren't receiving it at that time. We went our own way and made mistakes and suffered for it. To focus tonight on, we're going to several, and to focus on Psalm 32, the 32nd Psalm, especially verses 6, 7, and 8. And we'll come back to that. But now, if there's anyone listening, I hope you will keep an open mind and pray and ask the Lord to reveal to you His will for your life and your circumstances in the decisions that you need to make on a daily basis, whether it's something life-changing or earth-shattering, however you would like to describe it, whether it's about the new job that you should take, whether you should work at home or go out, work in be at large. If you can afford to stay home and be and homeschool your children, or if you should go and take an office job or whatever that might be, all of those decisions. And about your health and the health of your spouse and your children, how we should take care of ourselves, how we need to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of others. And if that is something that's on your mind, I hope you'll listen in tonight. And so I'm going to ask my guest, Lily, if she would like to give a little testimony of her story up to this point. And that can be as brief or as long as you would like to make it, Lily. Maybe you'd just like to hit the highlights, or maybe you want to talk to something about something in depth. And I want to give people hope tonight about people who have suffered, who were victims of domestic violence, or who had loved ones who were victims of domestic violence and suicide, and the anger and fear and all of those feelings that surround that. So that's going to be our topic tonight, and the importance of giving your testimony regarding those things, whether you fell into depression or whatever it else. Anyone who's listening, those are the things we're going to talk about tonight. And we want to let you know that there is hope no matter what. And so now, Lily, I'd like to ask you, what would you like people to know about your testimony that you think would give them hope regarding in relation to the types of experiences that you'd have, that you had in the past, and that you would like to share now? And before you,
sure.
you speak again, I
mm-hmm.
short prayer. Let me say a very short prayer here, which, you know, is miraculous for me because I tend to ramble. I just want to say, dear Lord, I ask you to take over and take control of the program here. I ask you to speak through Lily and me by the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask you to anoint this show and let whoever needs to hear our testimonies and be encouraged and know that there is hope. I pray, Lord, that you will bring them across this station, the internet, and let them hear whatever it is that you want. Witness to them, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we give you thanks and praise, Father. Going to do in the lives of whoever is listening and in our lives, also in our families. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay,
amen.
Lily, what would you like to say?
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, Catherine. You're such a blessing to both me and my husband and our family. Well, I grew
You're
up
very
in a
welcome,
home.
Lily. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being my guest. Again, it's my privilege. So what would you
thank
like
you.
To say?
I grew up in a home, in a Catholic home, where as a little girl, I didn't have a lot of affection for my mother. And I definitely went through a period in my life where I felt very unloved by her and just unloved by my parents, period, because they were both sort of abusive. You know, their way of discipline was definitely extreme and harsh at times. And, you know, when you're a little girl, you don't understand a lot of the times if your parents are not sitting down with you and disciplining you with words and explaining to you why what you did was wrong, instead, you know, you're getting whipped by a belt, you know, and things of that nature. And so as a teenager, my relationship with my mom was very distant. And I knew that I wanted to leave my parents' home as soon as possible. And that ended up happening when I was 18 years old. I actually, yes, it was 18. I was 18 years old, so a senior in high school, getting ready to graduate. I met a guy who was 8 years older than me. I was working all throughout high school, all 4 years, and so I ended up meeting him through his mom. And it was kind of like love at first sight. You know, he was a lot older. I was attracted to that. But I think I wanted kind of a fatherly figure. I didn't know that then. And so, you know, I thought he was, you know, good looking and kind. And he told me that he had a young daughter. She was 5 years old when we met. And I knew that my parents were not going to be okay with this relationship. So I stuck around for a while. And eventually, I decided to not keep this from them anymore, and I told him he needed to go ask for permission to date me. He wasn't very happy about it, but ended up doing it. And, you know, for the sake of keeping the story shorter, he ended up proposing marriage 2 years after that. So I was 20 years old when he proposed, and deep down in my heart, I kind of felt like I was not ready for marriage. I had definitely seen things in him that I was not comfortable with. He would smoke marijuana here and there, and it made me uncomfortable, but I really liked him. And so we married. We got married. My mom was totally against the marriage. I definitely rebelled. My mom warned me that it would be a difficult marriage, having to raise somebody else's daughter, and that there would be problems in the future for sure. And so definitely our problems began early in the marriage. And I started to see immediately a change in his attitude toward me. He became extremely violent, extremely physically and verbally abusive from the beginning. It was really scary, but I can tell you that within 2 months, I knew I wanted out of that marriage, but I felt alone. I felt like all along my parents were against this, and now how could I leave this marriage that I fought so hard to be a part of? You know, I was fearful that I would look stupid and that I was not going to, you know, be taken back by my parents back in. And I just felt lonely. I felt lonely, and I continued to, of course, stay with him and hoped that things would change. And through the course of 10 years, which is the length of time that we were married, many things happened. He always was physically abusive, so I went through a lot of physical pain. I was abused during my three pregnancies with my three children. He, at one point, was addicted to meth, and that just brought so many other problems into our marriage. He was always accusing me of doing things I was not doing, and he would see things, hear things, and it was just a really scary time, and I knew that the environment was not healthy for my children. However, I was very afraid of him. So I kept a lot of things from my family. I covered a lot for him. I lived in fear. I also didn't work for a period of time to stay home and raise the children. So during that time, my fear just grew just because I knew I really am stuck now. I really can't get out of this. I am solely dependent on this man, you know, who's abusive to me. He's irate. You know, he physically abuses me. And I finally one day, he did it again. And I decided this was the last time. And I sought the help of my parents. But many times, Catherine, during our marriage, when he was abusive, I would question God and I would say, God, where are you? I don't see you. Why did you allow me to marry this person? You know, why are you allowing this pain in my life? Are you real? Do you see what's happening to me? There are a lot of questions. He was not a believer necessarily. He would go to Catholic church with me every Sunday, but definitely was not, you know, practicing. And so I went through depression in our marriage. I even became an alcoholic at one point, and I would go and buy cheap wine to cause myself to go to sleep so that the pain wouldn't be as bad. And so when I sought the help of my parents, you know, they were very skeptical. They thought I was crying wolf. And, you know, my dad asked me if I was sure that I wanted to get out, and I said yes. And my parents eventually decided to take me in and the kids. I left my home. And about 2 months later, after he got out of jail, we got back together. And my parents were extremely upset, especially my father. He wanted to really have nothing to do with me. But I was just hopeful that our marriage would you know, endure all of the problems that we were undergoing. And he knew that if he came to me, my husband at the time, and said that he was seeking help through the church, that that would cause me to stay. Because I was brought up going to church every Sunday, and it was an important part of my life, even though we were Catholic. And so he made an appointment. We talked to priests. He was saying he was getting help, and, you know, we got back together, but he slowly regressed over time and started drinking again and started to be abusive again. The second time around, he never was physically abusive, but he definitely would get in my face, and he would act like he was going to hurt me, and he would say just foul things would come out of his mouth. And I knew, okay, this is not a good situation. He's really not going to change. He didn't keep his word. And so I ended up leaving that marriage December of 2009.
And so
not really.
How many years did you suffer through that?
10 years we were married.
My goodness.
Yeah,
and
10 years.
And so that obviously took a great toll on you, not only physically, but emotionally as well. And
yes.
I know that you're continually seeking the Lord. I know he has blessed you, and I know that you're very happily married now to Oscar.
I am.
So the Lord brought you through all of that pain and suffering. He delivered
mm-hmm.
you from that, and
mm-hmm.
so that you could begin to heal, and then
yes.
blessed you with a loving husband who treats
yes, he
you
did.
Totally the opposite of the way that your abusive husband treated you in the past. And so God
yes,
gave you
he
hope.
Does.
He kept
yes.
you through all of that torment, through
yes,
all of the
did.
Trials, brought you through that and made you a stronger woman. And so now that you can be a good wife and mother to Oscar and your children now, and your children are in a loving environment where they can thrive. So
mm-hmm.
the Lord wants everyone who's listening to know that he can do the same for them, right?
Yes, absolutely. I believe so. I obviously didn't think that this would ever happen. You know, when I got saved in 2011, I started attending a singles ministry at Calvary Chapel of Downey. And,
yes, I remember.
You know, yes, the purpose of joining that ministry was not because I was in search of a husband at that point. I was really just seeking
to be in
fellowship
yep.
with other single parents and other singles.
Yes.
I obviously wanted to be in church and be a part of a ministry on a Friday night, and it was a perfect place to do that, and I felt like the Lord led me there. And I was grateful for that ministry because I was able to build relationships with a lot of sisters, a couple of sisters in particular, who were able to just minister to me and help me to grow in my walk with the Lord. And, you know, I was a very young Christian, and I definitely needed that encouragement, you know, and so I was very blessed in that sense. And, there, you know, there's good sound teaching there from Pastor Jason at the time and Jason Norton. And so, you know, I was attending that ministry for about 8 months before I met Oscar. So, you know, it's definitely a funny story about how we met and how our relationship started, but God has definitely blessed me with my husband. He is a godly man, and he is in ministry. As you know, he's with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he's a Whittier area representative with
right.
the San Gabriel Valley FCA. And so we've been really blessed to be a part of that ministry as a couple and as a family, you know, reaching the community and reaching just the lost at the local schools and colleges. And it's been a really exciting journey. God definitely has been teaching us a lot about trusting him. And so, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you, you know, how my mind is just blown away when I think about where I used to be. And when I look at my life now, definitely I believe, you know, that God is sovereign and he's in control even when we don't have the best relationship with him, even when we're questioning whether or not he sees, you know, our troubles and our tears and, you know, the tribulation. And I believe that he was there all along just waiting for me to,
of course,
to seek him. And I'm so glad that, you know, God was so kind and patient with me, and he definitely opened my eyes to just a brand new world. I didn't know as a Catholic, I didn't really understand what it meant to have a relationship with him. I knew
Neither did I.
I knew that he had died, but I didn't quite understand why he was killed and why he hung on a cross. And, you know, when I came to the Lord in 2011, it was just such an overwhelming emotion and feeling, just knowing, wow, this God that all these years I have felt so distant from died for me. Like, all of a sudden, it became personal. I knew he had died for the world, in the sins of the world. I knew that. But I didn't know that he had died for me. And I didn't know that he wanted a personal relationship with me. And that was just so mind-boggling. And so that's been, you know, just a big part of my testimony about, you know, how my relationship with the Lord has grown. But I also want to touch on the fact that I had to learn to forgive.
I had to learn to forgive
my ex-husband.
Yes, that was going to be the next thing I was going to say, Lily. What have you learned about forgiveness? So I'll let you continue.
Well, you know, there was a lot of bitterness in my heart for a long time because after I separated from my ex-husband, he went through a series of relationships with different women. And in the beginning, one in particular, he had a live-in relationship with a woman. And I could see that he was trying hard to have a good relationship with her. And, you know, they were trying to, you know, live together. Of course, they were living in sin. But it almost made me question, you know, why did you never do that with your wife, with me? You know, why are you doing that now? How come he never tried hard enough to do something about our marriage, to save our marriage, to save our home? You know, I just felt like that was such a low blow. And so there was a lot of bitterness there. And thinking back on all the times that I was physically abused and thinking back on all the things that he ever said to me, all the insults, all the ways, all the times that I felt small, I felt like dirt, you know, I felt like trash, I felt filthy, you know, all those things deeply affected who I had become. I identified with the hurt, I identified with the names that I was called. And for a long time, I believed I was that girl. He used to tell me, you will never find anyone who is ever going to love you, especially, you know, a divorcee with three children.
But the Lord proved him wrong.
Yes, I believe that for a long time.
And so you were finally forgive him because of that.
Yes, and so when I started to go to the singles ministry at Calvary Downey, the pastor there, you know, started to counsel me and tell me that I really needed to pray for him and pray for his salvation. And that was a thought that I couldn't even come to terms with at the time.
Yeah, difficult.
It was difficult.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
And so
it was difficult for me to picture that,
happy,
you know.
Able to finally forgive him. And so for that's one of the reasons that you can be so happy now. Even though we're going to continue to have problems in our lives, forgiving that person
Definitely.
And praying for that person that the Lord will bless them, when we do that, the Lord blesses us also. And it's almost time for me
Yes.
to share the gospel now. And so I'll give you another moment to say something in a few minutes. But I feel compelled to say something here about, I'm going to give a very concise testimony. Dear Lord, help me. I also was abused and suffered a lot of abuse. I had parents who loved me. I grew up in a Catholic home as well, and my parents loved me. But I didn't, I always believed that my parents loved me, but I didn't feel love. I didn't feel loved all the time. My mother suffered from a mental illness. My father suffered from what was called, the term at that time was being shell-shot. I was told that my father returned from World War II, shell-shot. He suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder from World War II. He was in the Army, and he was denied treatment. He asked for it, but was never given treatment. And I was confused and upset as a child watching my mother suffer. My mother was very ill. And when she was herself, as I like to say, she was a wonderful person. And my father was also. They were hardworking people. And they were generous. And they tried to treat other people the way they wanted to be treated. I grew up with a lot of shame and guilt, which grew as I became older. I was angry with the Lord for most of my life for allowing my mother to suffer the way she did. And my father never understood her illness, so he was not always kind to her. I watched my mother be mistreated, and I became very angry. And as I grew, I became depressed as well. And I remember yelling at the Lord many times, asking him why he let this happen to my mother and to my family. And there were times when I wished that I had been an orphan. I didn't want to be who I was. I didn't want to be a part of the family I'd been born into. I was angry with the Lord for that. I didn't like my appearance. I didn't like who I was. I wanted to be someone else. I did not want to live where I lived. I literally wanted to be someone else, and I wished many times that I was an orphan, that I could be adopted into a rich family. You've heard many times people say, many times joking, say, oh, why, I wish I'd been born rich and beautiful. I prayed for that. I wished, that I could be beautiful and rich and be in this loving family where everything would be, but where life would be a bed of roses all the time. And, of course, that's not what God for me. So I was very angry. And I'm coming to a place where I want to talk about my sister. I had an older sister, whom, of course, I loved. She was a second mother to me. She was 10 years older, and she took care of all of us. She was always the caregiver, always the caretaker. She had a lot of responsibility placed on her at a very young age. And she married young. She left home at the age of 16 for a number of reasons. And she married at about age 20, probably 20 or 22. She was very much in love. But from the beginning, she was controlled by her husband, and she lived in a marriage, an abusive, controlling marriage with a man who was very angry and bitter, who had been abused himself as a child. And everyone thought that he was Mr. Wonderful, everyone outside the home, that is. But he would come home and take out his anger and frustration, his pain, and, on my sister. And she put up with it for 40 years. And in the end, there was something that, as they say, something happened that was actually the straw that broke the camel's back. And through affairs and everything else, she put up with him and much abuse, just as you say, more than physical abuse, it was emotional abuse and extreme control. She was basically a prisoner in her own home. And I remember occasions such as on one occasion, he finally allowed her to go shopping with me. We went to a mall, and we were gone for 2 hours, and her teenage daughter came looking for us. She worked at a store in the mall, and to say that you better get home, because my brother-in-law was having a fit, even over the phone, yelling and screaming to his daughter, because my sister had been gone. Her mother had been gone with me for 2 hours. And so another time I remember her saying that she hadn't been to the mall in so long that she forgot what a mall looked like. She didn't have very much freedom at all, and was just totally controlled by him. And, of course, he isolated her from the family. He would do things such as change the phone number and not tell her so that her sisters, and brothers would be calling and unable to get through because he changed the phone number and she wouldn't realize it. But there was so much worse, so much more. But in the end, my sister took her life. After attempting suicide many times over a period of 4 years, my brother-in-law called me back from another state to come and take care of her without me really realizing what was going on at the time, but she was extremely depressed and became psychotic and suicidal. And in the end, after 4 years, she'd finally convinced him, after returning home from the hospital once again, she convinced him that she was okay, just so that he would relax and stop watching her so closely. But as soon as he'd driven away to go out on, and he did his best in the end to take care of her, to give credit where credit is due. Of course, he did not want her to commit suicide. But in the end, once he had left the house, she tore their bedroom closet apart looking for his gun. He had many, and he had brought one back into the house while she was hospitalized. And she found it, of course, shot herself in the chest, and she died before the ambulance arrived. There was a lot of guilt and fear and anger to go around, a lot of blaming. And I blamed my brother-in-law for my sister's death, as did other people. And so I was so caught up in the anger and bitterness that I could not get through the grieving process. It didn't hit me until some months later. But I knew the Lord wanted me to forgive him. And I finally reached a point where I would tell the Lord, okay, Lord, I forgave him. But I was saying it, but not feeling it. And so eventually, through the Lord's grace and mercy and his love, I was finally able to forgive him. And but that anger and wanting, because I wanted retribution, I wanted revenge, I wanted to hurt him, to do something, you know, I literally felt so angry that I wished I could just beat him up and stomp on him and leave him bleeding, you know, and groaning on the ground and walk over him. I thought death at that point was too good for him because he was suffering, you know, very much after she committed suicide. Because he was in denial, he kept thinking, oh, she's not going to do it. She just wants attention. But, of course, she wanted change. She wanted to live. She didn't want to die. But she was killing herself or attempting to kill herself to get away from him. And so in the end, after many attempts, she finally took a gun and took her own life. And I remember telling her, if you killed yourself, you lose. That's not winning. And she said, well, I don't think it's losing if I leave him with all the bills, the hospital bills, the mountain of hospital bills, which makes no sense, but she wasn't thinking clearly. And so we need to forgive so that we can be forgiven. And we need to ask the Lord for his help because we cannot do this without him. He tells us to, instead of giving in to the anger, we need to have patience. And he talks about that in 2 Timothy 2:4 in the Bible. And as for the fear, he tells us we need to replace our fear with love. We can't just get rid of anger and unforgiveness without replacing them with something else, right? So he tells us about the fear, Lily, that he says to replace the fear with love, and he tells us that in 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. We need to replace that fear that Satan gives us with the love of God. And in 1 John 4:18, this is what he says. And I'm sure you must have found this to be true, right, Lily? So here,
yes,
he says, 1 John 4:18, he says, there is no fear in love, right? So when you thought, you know, when someone's beating you or abusing you in some other way, you think, how is this love? Well, it isn't. The Lord tells us here in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And in the next verse, in 19, he says, we love him because he first loved us. Jesus loves us. Mm-hmm. And he does not want us to be beaten and battered and abused and stepped on, walked on, and cursed and controlled by men who don't know how to love. They themselves have been abused. They themselves have been hurt and are angry and broken, and they need healing just as we do. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to pray for them and ask the Lord to do his work to save them. And so mm-hmm. now then also here, I want to mention that all of those things that cause depression, anxiety, worry, and fear, again, all of that is from Satan. It's not from God. And those people who cause this, these perpetrators, those who are out there raping, stealing, causing havoc, ruining lives and families, who are raping and abusing little children, boys as well as girls, who are raping women, taking unfair advantage of them, who are doing whatever else, all the rest of the evil that goes on in the world, that is not of God. That's from Satan. And those things happen to us because men who have free will, men and women as well, people choose to abuse their free will and to do evil things. God doesn't cause the evil. But God is love. He's loving. He wants us to heal and to be healed. And let whoever is listening just please know that you don't have to go on suffering and pain, physical, mental, emotional abuse at the hands of somebody who professes to love you. Find a way out. Go to someone you can trust. Go to the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray to him. If you have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, believe us. He exists. He is real. Jesus Christ is the Lord God, and he is all-powerful, and he can help you. He can deliver you, and he can heal you, and he can heal the person who is abusing you if you are being abused. The emotional, the anger and hatred, if there is hatred involved, the anger and the desire to get even and the jealousy once that person goes on and has a better life, all of that, it can cause you to be ill physically as well as emotionally. So we have to let go of it, and the only way we can do that is to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over it, because Jesus Christ, when we receive him as Savior, he redeems us. He saves us. We become born again. He makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. That means he heals us in our hearts. He can heal us in our hearts, minds, our bodies, our souls, and spirits. He can literally give us a new life, as Lily has attested to. That doesn't mean that we still won't have suffering in the world, but at least when we have Jesus in our hearts and we walk with him in truth and honesty and integrity, putting on the full armor of God every day, as he tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, the spiritual weapons of warfare, we can be healed, we can walk with God, and we can have a new life. And the Lord wants everyone to know that there is hope, and that we should give our testimonies, we should tell our stories. And again, we don't have to tell all the sordid details, if there are any. We don't have to mention names. We don't have to hurt other people and destroy people's reputations, especially when they've rebuilt new reputations and become good and abiding citizens. But we can tell our stories, our testimonies, what our life was like before we received Christ, before we knew Christ, before he began, before we could see him working in our lives, and what our lives are like now. That's what our testimony is, to tell the hope that we have now. And I'm telling you that it's been many years, but the Lord is healing me from the pain and suffering of abuse, of sexual abuse, of emotional abuse, of physical abuse, of being molested as a, having been molested as a child, and so that I was unable to trust men. And it affected all the relationships of my life, even my marriage. And marrying someone who does not share our Christian belief only magnifies the problems. And when we marry someone who is not prepared to walk with the Lord, who's not walking with the Lord and does not do that and goes their own way and gets involved in drug abuse, as you spoke of, Lily, or whatever else there might be, whether it was gambling. Mm-hmm. I had some experience with that and the havoc that gambling can wreak in a person's life, just as alcoholism and sexual abuse can. It's a terrible way to live. it causes just such devastation in our lives and affects our children and so on and so forth. But we can all find healing in the Lord. We need to let go of the anger. With the Lord's help, we need to let go of the anger, the unforgiveness, and the bitterness that unforgiveness causes. We need to pray for those people who have hurt us, pray that they will find the Lord, that will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord, so that they can truly be saved and know that they will be in heaven with the Lord one day, and so that they can begin to set a good example for all those around them. We need to do that as well, and to let people know that there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the one and only way. There's no other hope but for Jesus. And for anyone who does not know the Lord, I'd like you to listen in, Lily, and be in agreement with me in this prayer. For anyone who would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we have 4 minutes left in the program, and that's enough for you to know, to give your heart to the Lord. If you are so inclined, I invite you to pray this prayer so that you can be sure that you can be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Will you pray after me or along with me? Lord Jesus, I trust by faith that you are God, that you are the Son of God, that you are one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. I trust by faith that you lived and died and rose again. You died to pay the debt for my sins on the cross, and I accept your payment on the cross, the work that you did on the cross, with the shedding of your blood, your suffering and death. I accept that, your payment, as payment in full for my sin debt. And I ask you to be Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you rose again from the dead, and by doing so, you give us the hope of eternal life with you in heaven, so that we can be raised from the dead, so that our spirits can live on when our bodies die, and we can know that we can be with you in heaven. I trust this by faith, and I repent of my sins. I turn away from them and ask you to live the Christian life through me, understanding that to repent means to turn away from my past life, away from my sins, from continually, deliberately committing the same sins over and over again. And I ask you to help me to do that, because I know that I cannot do it on my own. So I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I want to be with you in heaven when I die. Now, if you've prayed that prayer from your heart, what you need to do now is join it. Teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible. Read the Bible every day and do what it says. Pray to the Lord. Praying is just talking to God from your heart, just as we're talking now, just as you prayed that prayer. Ask Jesus to be your Savior and to lead you in the Christian life, and He will do that. Devote yourself to Him. Again, be in fellowship with other people who are worshiping and praising and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. In church and in Bible study, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Christian life and to live it through you. And now we're about to close. So, Lily, I want to thank you again for being my guest. And I pray that all who are listening will come to know the peace, the love, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you'll tune in again next Thursday on 7 and listen in to the Sword and Shield Show and tell others that there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the way. Thank you, and may God bless you. Thank you, too, Lily, and I'll talk to you soon, dear.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Lily. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Remember, tune in again next Thursday. We're on every Thursday at 7 p.m. for the Sword and Shield Show. And tell other people.
Not flesh and blood, they overwhelm me as a flood. I give myself, Lord, to your command. Equip me now that I may. of Jesus.